Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to start a new podcast series on the divine nature. And I believe this is going to be an exciting series. And how it also is part of overall of the connection to all the other podcasts that we've done. Because we talked about the believer's authority. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and some other things concerning faith and those things. And, you know, when you look at the teachings of the Word of God, you know, they're really all connected for the whole person, you know, because how are we going to walk in the divine nature of God unless we are seeking after the will of God for our lives, you know, because some people say, well, you know, I just want the gifts of the Spirit. I just want the power of God. But yet, we need to be able to walk in the divine nature because the divine nature is what's going to facilitate us being able to be effective in the gifts of the Spirit, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power that God has given. Because, you know, you've heard this saying that, you know, that power will corrupt people, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is true. You know, it can. It very well can. Because if a person is not developed in their character and their, you know, their inner person, then if they're given too much power, it may go to their head. And this is why pride is one of the greatest contributors of a person's fall. You know, we talk about fear holding people back, but yet pride was the sin from the beginning that Satan had committed, Lucifer, in his mm-hmm. fall from his position in heaven. It was pride. It wasn't fear. It wasn't doubt. It was pride, true. You know. And pride is probably one of those things that's the sneakiest thing that can come upon a person without them realizing what they're, you know, giving into. And so the divine nature, you know, it has everything to do with being able to eliminate those type of temptations, you know, because Jesus walked in the greatest authority, walked in the greatest power. It says that he was given the Spirit without measure. Now, how many of us can handle that? You know, and there's really no way we can without walking in his divine nature, because his divine nature and character is what enabled him to establish him in those things without falling. Because it says in John chapter 14, verse 30, he said that Satan, the ruler of this world, is coming, and Jesus said, he has nothing in me.
That's right.
So he couldn't find no pride, he couldn't find no fear, he couldn't find anything in Jesus that would enable him to have access to him, because he was walking in the divine nature of God.
Amen.
And the divine nature of God is pure and perfect.
Amen.
And this is the very thing that Jesus came to give us. So this is our series that we're going to start out with here in our first podcast. And I believe it's going to be really good. And I believe it's going to help others to be able to aspire to the greatness that God has called them to, because he called it all to greatness. And not just greatness to have the gifts of the Spirit, but greatness into aspiring to be like our Lord and our Savior, emulating him, because he set a pattern for us to emulate. So yeah, I kind of went a little more longer on my introduction here, but I want to also, you know, bring in my wife here and introduce her as well. For those who may not know us, maybe this is your first podcast that you're listening to, and this is me and my wife's podcast series. And obviously, I do primarily the teaching, and she supports me in this.
Amen.
But she also has her podcast series with her mother, and she's about to start a new one, too, special needs children. I'm excited to see how that's going to go and to be a supporter to her on that. So without further ado, let me introduce my sweetheart, my beloved, blessed, and wonderful, and beautiful, amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Amen. I'm going to have to learn a few more adjectives as well to introduce you. Thank you for all those kind words. Well, hello, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We are excited. We are grateful. We know that God is taking these podcasts, these messages, to the hearts that are hungry for his word, his truth, those hearts that desire to continue to grow. And not only in revelation, but actually apply these truths into your lives. So we know that the Holy Spirit is taking this to the the right ears and the right hearts. And we certainly hope that you don't keep it for yourself, to yourself, but that you will actually also share it with other people. You know, God is so good. And I'm telling you, when we say that he is so good, it's just because we don't have another word besides good. But imagine that all the wonderful blessings he gives us. You know, if he would have given us salvation, we would have been so grateful. But in addition to all the things he's given us, on top of that, he also gives us the Holy Spirit to work in us this divine nature so that we can be like Jesus. And no, that doesn't mean that we're God, of course not. But it means that we can have the same nature that Jesus has. And that is amazing. And so I'm excited, and I know that we're going to continue to learn. And as always, let's make sure that we keep a humble heart, that we stay humble before the Lord and allow him to teach us the things that he wants us to learn. And you know what? If there is something that you hear, you listen to that kind of like, I'm not sure about this, I've never heard of this, or you know what? Ask the Holy Spirit to reconcile it. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, clarification. Don't throw it out or dismiss it just because, I'm not sure, that's not what I learned in my church or, you know, in my school. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will teach you the truth. So praise God that he uses us as vessels, and we're here learning together, and we're excited that we're able to now learn about this amazing truth, which is a divine nature.
Amen, sweetheart. It's beautiful. And yes, it's going to be an exciting series, because this is actually one of my favorite topics
really? To
teach on.
Wow, and, nice.
Maybe shocking to some people. Think, well, I thought you were teaching on faith, and I do. But yeah. This one is the one that really helped me the most,
really?
I say.
Awesome.
You know, as a disciple, you know, of Christ, is knowing that I could be conformed to the image of Christ.
Wow.
And it was his will,
right.
And he would help me to be able to do it.
That's amazing.
You know, because, you know, how many people are bound up with a sin nature? Because we, you know, we're born in sin. We didn't come into this earth with the divine nature in us. And we didn't come into the world knowing everything. We come in as a child, as a blank slate.
That's
they
right.
have to learn everything, you know. And our environment, you know, people's environments oftentimes is determining what they learned. You know, does the parents raise the child? What does the parents instill into the child and teach them, you know?
Right.
And even though maybe some don't have that good Christian home and background, you know, they come to Christ later in life, but usually it's later on in life because they had to discover it on their own, you know, through some other means. But being raised in church by your parents, that's a special blessing to be taught the things from the child, you know, the right things according to God's word.
That's right.
And so we're going to start out with our base scripture here in Romans 8, you know, and we're going to talk about God's will for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Some people say, well, you know, I don't know that we can ever do that. But when we see what the scripture has to say about it, then we better understand the will of God, because really, you know, for whatever we're believing God for, whether it's healing or God bringing us a divine spouse, you know, that will be the choice that he has for us, or that right job, whatever it might be that we're praying and believing God for, we have to have faith for it. And really faith, as I've said oftentimes, faith can only begin where the will of God is known. And when people don't believe they can have the divine nature and walk in it and achieve it, then they're not going to exercise faith for it. They're just going to hope and wish, well, if it's God's will, I don't know. Maybe, you know, things can change, you know. And I hear people say oftentimes, you know, we can never be like Jesus. But yet the Bible's telling us that it's God's will for us to be like him. You say, well, we'll, you know, he never sinned, so that we can't be like him in that regard, that we could live a sinless life our whole life. But we can get to the place where the sin nature is being dominated by the divine nature.
That's right.
That's God's will.
I've heard so often, I'm sure you have too, that people say, well, I'm not going to do that because I'm not Jesus, you know. I'm not Jesus. in justifying, you know, and another behavior. So that is so true. That's a mindset among many Christians. I'm not speaking about unbelievers, among Christians that justify making poor choices because I'm not Jesus.
Right.
So this is going to be life-changing.
Yeah, that's so true, because you hear it said also, you know, that, you know, we're in this fallen nature, this fallen world, mm-hmm. and we're going to sin every day. Well, I dispute that. We don't have to sin every day. The more we become conformed to the image of Christ, the less we're going to sin every day. Matter of fact, it might be days or weeks go by. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. we are perfectly sinless mm-hmm. from our beginning to now. Only Jesus was that.
Right.
But he came to give us what he had.
Right.
And it's up to us to allow him to help us to be conformed to that. And so we'll get to some scriptures here to back this up. So,
I just want to add one more thing because, you know, it's a good example what you're saying, that even though here on earth, because we are in this human body, as people say, so many people claim, well, I'm never going to be perfect, I'm always going to sin, but we're also always aiming to be better. And a good example is, for example, most of us go to school, and we don't expect, I think, to ever reach the point where you have obtained perfect knowledge in everything. But we go to school and we continue to learn and we continue to learn and we continue to improve and learn more, right? Even though we don't obtain perfect, complete, vast knowledge. So it's the same thing with our Christian walk. It's not a very good thing. It's not a healthy thing to say, I'll never be like Jesus, therefore why even try? We should always aim to improve and to be better, and definitely today be better than yesterday.
Yes, absolutely, right? Sweetheart. You know, it's just like I say oftentimes, you know, or have taught, is, you know, unless you have a goal in mind, you usually are not going to achieve it. You know, if you get in your car and you're driving, your aim is to go from where we're at here in Pennsylvania, in Allentown area, you're not going to end up in Los Angeles by accident. I mean, somebody says, well, you get there, you know, if you drive, you might end up anywhere. But if it's your purpose to go there and to be there within 3 days or whatever, you know, amount of time it takes there, you have to have a route.
Right.
You have to have a plan. You know, you're not going to drive aimlessly and think you're going to land there, you know, because you might end up in Miami completely, you know, in a different direction. But the point I'm having is this, unless a person knows that it's God's will for them to have the divine nature, they're not going to pursue it.
Right, that's very true.
So it's not going to happen for them automatically because, right. It's, you know, right. Some people, you know, quote the scripture where, you know, it says that, where Paul said that he who began a good work in you will complete until the day of Christ Jesus. Well, it doesn't mean he's going to do it automatically by himself without your cooperation. You know, because that's a fallacy that a lot of Christians have about a lot of the promises of God, is that it appears to them as if God is sovereignly responsible for making all those things happen on his own. But it's not. It's in cooperation with our will. It says, and many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We have to allow him to lead us. And if we're not subject to him, submitting to him, then we're not going to do that. So let me get to that scripture here in Romans 8, and I want to go over a couple other scriptures here to prove what we're talking about. Because, you know, some people say, well, you know, that's all a bunch of good ideas and a bunch of talk, but show me the scriptures. Okay, well, fine. That's what we're going to do right now. Let's look here in Romans 8, and let's start with verse 19. And I'm going to read down several verses, basically about 10 verses. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves eagerly waiting for the adoption and redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
And we'll stop right there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot that can be unpacked from this whole passage I just read. But what I want to focus on here is this verse right here in verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So that means God's will is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ so that we be like him.
That's right.
Now, he's always going to be Lord and Savior. So being like him doesn't mean we're going to be in his position.
No.
You know, in authority over the earth, you know.
Right.
We're still going to be under subjection to God the Father through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is Lord over all. But it's being conformed to his image, ridding ourselves of the sinful nature. Because it's interesting, as we read in the previous verses about the earnest expectation of the creation or eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, and how, you know, we groan within ourselves because we want to take on this incorruptible nature. You know, ultimately, the incorruptible nature will come with our incorruptible bodies, right? So we will be in this flesh, but there's still a process that we can go through where we obtain of the divine nature in this earth, where we don't have to walk and live in sin. People think they have to live in sin. They have to walk in sin. They don't. Jesus, before he died, before he was resurrected, and that was the ultimate, when he was resurrected, he had his divine new body, because that body was a body they could touch, because he said touch and see,
right.
that the holes were in his hands,
mm-hmm.
and he ate some fish,
yes.
but yet he could appear and disappear,
right?
He could come and go and all that. So he was walking in a resurrected body.
Amen.
That's the ultimate goal that God's going to give us,
mm-hmm.
right? But prior to that, he walked in the divine nature as a human being, as a man, and he didn't sin. He lived a sinless life. That's obtainable for us in this life, in this human fleshly body, the same as he had before his death, burial, and resurrection. And we know this because other scriptures tell us this, right? Because some people say, well, you know, I don't know that it means all that, because just that one scripture you read doesn't prove that. Well, let's look at some other scriptures then. You know, it says here in Galatians chapter 4, we'll turn there, Galatians chapter 4, the key verse I want to point out here is verse 19. He says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you. Now I have to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. See, he's dealing with them because, you know, things that they were going through, you know, dealing with. And yet what he's talking about here is the goal that he has for them is to see Christ being formed in them. And mm-hmm. somebody might say, well, see, brother, I still don't see fully what that means. I can live a sinless life. You know, it's obviously it's more than living a sinless life. It's taking on his character and his nature to be able to do what he did and live as he lived, be his representative, his ambassadors in the earth. And too many people are bogged down with not only the sin nature, but they're bogged down with worries and fears and anxieties and all kinds of weights as the scripture talks about, is laying aside every sin and weight that easily besets people. They don't have to be sin, but it can be a weight that's holding them down from being able to accomplish and be all that God purposed for them to be.
That's right.
So they're not able to accomplish their divine destiny, or what they've been called mm-hmm. to, you know? And so, yes, this scripture doesn't say that specifically, but there's more scriptures we're going to get to. So let's turn to another one. Let's turn to 2 Peter, which actually is my favorite one of all. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I got to get there. 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now let me reread this more accurately, because I'm reading from the New King James Translation, and where it says here that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. The proper translation in the Greek is escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, not having escaped the corruption.
Okay.
You know, it says having escaped, but I looked this up in the original Greek, and it's only one word, escape. So it's basically talking about the divine nature enabling us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because, you know, the fallen nature is a strong thing.
It is.
Jesus told his disciples, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked them why they couldn't pray with him for 1 hour when he came back, you know, I think that third time. And he said this. He says, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, right?
Amen, that's right.
He said to watch and pray, that they not enter into temptation.
That's right.
So even not committing a sin, per se, by being weak, enables a person to fall into temptation, because he said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So sometimes people need to be alert and they be watchful and be praying in order to be able to put off that temptation that's trying to come to them. You know, and I find that sometimes true. Even when I go to sleep at nighttime, I can sense there's a demonic attack coming and I'm tired. I want to go to sleep, you know, and so I rebuke this in the name of Jesus, but sometimes I don't watch and pray long enough until that thing is gone. Because then when I fall asleep, I'm having these bad dreams and stuff, you know, and the enemy is just using my sleep time and dream time to try to torment me to some degree, you know. And it isn't a matter that I dream and have sinful dreams. It's the fact that because I didn't do enough spiritual warfare until the atmosphere was cleared, then when I went to sleep, that those spirits were still there affecting, you know, my sleep time. And that goes without saying, or it should go without saying about everything else. You know, a person's watching television and they feel the sensing of the Lord speaking to them, turn off the TV and start reading your Bible. But the desires for other things, as the scripture says, choke out the word. So, no, I got to watch these shows because I've got my DVR and I've got 5 shows I recorded and I'm behind. I got to catch up. So they find no time for the word because they got all these shows, because they're being led by the flesh. And this is why it says here that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Why? So that we can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, through the desires of the flesh. And it ain't just sexual lust, it's a lust for all kinds of things, a lust for, you know, my desires, because the word lust is really the word desire. It's desires for other things, as Jesus said about the parable of the sower, that the desires for other things choke out the word.
That's right.
And the flesh is that element that our soul is operating through is our flesh, because our flesh wants, I want to get up and get some chocolate ice cream. And yet, you know, that's not a good thing at 10 o'clock at night, you know, right before you go to bed. And, you know, many other things. So we want the divine nature, not only so that we can lose weight, or divine nature so that we can turn off our, you know, all these TV programs and read the Bible, but we need the divine nature so that we can walk in all that God has for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Because how are we going to be a formidable opponent, you might say, to the devil? You know, it's not that we're, you know, well, we're going in a boxing match and ring with the devil to see who's stronger. No, this is about being able to go and help rescue souls and save lives, because the divine nature is going to empower us to be able to do those things much more effectively.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're in a world where the devil is alive. He ain't dead. He ain't going to roll over and play dead just because you say one time, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. There's going to be a battle. And that battle is going to require us to take on the nature of Christ, to walk in it, so that we can be victorious, we can overcome, and we can help other people to overcome. Because it's hard to help someone else overcome when we're too bound up to be able to do anything for ourselves, let alone go to help someone else.
That's right.
So I'm going to, you know, we're a little shorter than the time than I usually take to end the podcast, but I feel like I've said what I need to say for this particular podcast. So I'm going to turn it over to my wife, and she wants to go ahead and make her, you know, the appeal to the lost, she can, or she wants to add some things to the subject. We got some extra time here, so go ahead, take it
this
away.
This is so good, and we pray that the Holy Spirit just opens up the eyes of our hearts and our understanding, because, you know, everybody, usually most people, are always wanting some upgrades. We look for upgrades, you know, with our phones, and upgrades for this and that. And if we're taking an airplane, what a surprise for the representative to tell us that we've just been given an upgrade. And we love upgrades. And so can you imagine, and no, we can't, what it is that God created us. And not only did he save us, but he said, I am going to give you the best possible version of you. You can't even imagine what this version of you is. It's the version that looks like my son Jesus.
Amen.
Talk about an up. This is beyond an upgrade, I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
So the fact not only that we actually have this available to us, but that God expects us to expect it. And not only does God expect us to expect it, but we need to know that this is a blessing, and the enemy wants to keep this away from our knowledge. You know, truth will set us free. And it is very, very sad that so many Christians can live sometimes their whole Christian lives here on earth without the fullness of this divine nature. And God wants us to know that it's ours. We should not only know about it, but we should desire it. We should pursue it. And I'm saying pursue it because, as you said, it's not let's go to sleep and tomorrow, you know, we just got the upgrade. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the work, but it is with our collaboration. It is with our surrender.
Amen.
Definitely. So praise God. You know, nobody expects a graduation diploma if you never show up to school, to class. If you want to graduate and pass, you need to show up. So there is something that we need to do. And the Holy Spirit is making us each day more beautiful, more like Jesus. But we need to show up in terms of there are things that we need to do as well. So praise God for this wonderful God. Praise God for this beautiful gift, for this divine nature. And I'm excited not only the fact that we can share it with the listeners, but to know that there are going to be a lot of upgrades out there. So praise God. But we don't want to close this podcast without extending the invitation. If you do not know Jesus Christ, forget about the upgrade. The first thing you need to do first is know that there is salvation. You need to be saved. And you may ask, what do you mean saved? I'm not in danger. Yes, you are. The Bible says that you and I were born separated from God because we come from Adam and Eve and we inherit sin. And with that, with sin, you cannot be with God. So you can't even think about that divine nature until you actually have Jesus as your Savior. So the invitation is, give your heart to the Lord. Jesus died on the cross so that you can have eternal life. Jesus died on the cross so that he can pay for your sins. You have a big debt on you, and it's called sin. Jesus wants to pay for it. You can't afford, you don't have enough anything to pay for your sins, but good news, you don't have to worry about it. You just have to trust Jesus. He already paid for it on the cross. You just have to accept what he did for you. Talk about an upgrade of love. Nobody has ever loved you like this, will ever love you at all. So give your heart to the Lord. Become one of the children of God. Become part of the family of God. And then we can talk about this amazing, amazing upgrade of having the divine nature.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so beautifully put. You know, because you're right. We can't, you know, it's like I heard a preacher say many years ago, it's hard to build a fourth story on an empty lot. Yeah. And you got to start with the foundation
That's
first.
Right.
Then the first floor, then the second, then the third, then the fourth floor.
Right.
Right. So, yes, we got to get our priorities right here. Jesus has to be Lord and Savior of your life, and you need to receive him for the forgiveness of your
Amen.
Sins. So we're going to end this podcast here and say God bless you to all who've listened. And as my sweetheart has said, you know, share these teachings with others because, you know, you may say, well, you know, I don't know if they want to listen to that. You just never know who
That's right.
might be, you know, open to receive, you know, because we don't always know where people are at in their walk with God. And it's amazing to hear when people come up and give testimonies and say
right.
what God has done in their life.
That's right.
So, you know, what are they going to do? You know, put you in jail? Well, even if they did, then you can share it with those who are in jail. Because maybe, you know, like Paul and Silas, right?
you
know,
go.
They got locked up and yet the jailer got saved and his whole family.
There you go.
So, we're going to end it here, and we're going to pick this series up. We'll continue on in the series, I mean, and in a part two at least, and who knows how many more maybe there to come on this series. I really love this series on the divine nature.
I look forward
to it. So everyone have a good night. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.